Now, last week, I kind of blew the top off of preaching, I understand. And there is some concern that it may happen again this morning. So get ready, because it may. See, I ended last week's sermon with the words, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face, humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways and pray, I will forgive and heal their land." Remember? Mm-hmm. And I told you last week I was delivering my annual spiritual state of the nation address and got a little worked up in it. Well, this is part two, folks. Today what you're going to hear is my address about the spiritual state of the church. And as the spiritual state of the nation is in trouble, the spiritual state of the church ain't good either. Now, in the scripture passage that was just read in your hearing, the Israelites were messing around. They were worshiping false gods. Even though God had specifically told them, "You shall have no other gods before me," Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. Even though this following other gods had gotten them into the trouble before and was the reason that they had been condemned to wander in the desert for 40 years. See, no matter how you look at it, we are dumb creatures, as stupid as sheep. That's why God calls himself the great shepherd and us the sheep of his pasture. People are dumb. And what makes us dumb is that we do not learn from our mistakes. And if you don't learn from your mistakes, guess what you're going to do again? The same stupid thing you already did. And the Israelites in the text that was read to you today are demonstrating it. They're doing the same dumb thing that got him in trouble before. Now, the other side of this is it's really easy for Satan. He does not need to be creative. All he has to do is put the same temptation in front of us over and over again, and you know what we do? Plunk, 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 right in the hole. So there they are, the Israelites, the very people of God, being led by God to the promised land. And what are they doing on the way? Struggling for 40 years because of what they did before. But they're doing it again. This time, they are worshiping the goat gods. Mm-hmm. Now, you might well ask, what is a goat god? And if you were to ask me such a question this morning, I would tell you that the goat god is an idol made in the image of a goat. Is it up there? You will remember that on their own, the Israelites preferred cows. They liked their idol gods to look like a calf. While Moses was up on the mountain, folks, getting the Ten Commandments for God, the people of God were down in the valley making themselves a little calf god. But this time, it was goats. See, apparently the people who lived around them liked goats better than calves. Apparently the people who were living in the area worshipped this goat god, and the Hebrews joined them. Do you know sometimes when I take those Hebrews and go, what is wrong with you? Given a moment, they forsake God and go wandering off to kiss goats. And you might well ask me today, well, Pastor, what really is wrong with a little goat worship? And if you were to ask me such a question, I would tell you this. I would start by saying to you, number one, if God says don't and you do, it's wrong. So the first problem here is that God said, do not worship anything as God except me. And they were not listening to the command of God. For here they were, for the second time, worshiping an image they had made as if it was God. Now you're right. I can read your thoughts sometimes. You're sitting out there saying, well, gee, I mean, after all, everybody else around them was worshiping goat gods. They were just being sociable. I mean, when you went out to visit their neighbors and they were doing their worship thing and making an offering to their little goat, I mean, after all, what's it matter? Why make an issue of it? They just were going along. See, they didn't want to appear to be judging their neighbors. They didn't want to offend anybody. They didn't want other people to think of them as being religious, bigoted types who were, God forbid, intolerant. After all, they were in Rome, and they were just doing as the Romans did. Oh, get my blood boiling. Folks, God said, come out from among them and be different. He said, come out from among them and be holy in their midst. He called his people to be an example to the world, not to be of the world, but to stand apart from the world so as to lead the world to him. He warned us in his book that when we became the example he was calling us to be, they would say we were bigoted and intolerant of them, and so we are. For if we do not become such, do you know where they will go? To hell. And the responsibility for their going there is theirs, but we share it if we will not come out from among them. And whenever you do what God says don't do, you can be 100% sure that what you're doing is wrong. So what is it that you put in the place of God this morning? To what do you give God's place in your life as a member of the body of Christ? Could be a god you made, fashioned it with your own hands, a little goat you keep on your bureau. Probably not. It could be your job. It could be your family. It could be your bank account. It can be a relationship. It can be this. It can be that. I can go on and on and on and on. But anything you put in the place of God is wrong, because he said he is to have first place and he alone is to be God, and you are to worship him and him alone. And you can't go out and play with the goat gods of the world, because he said you will have no other gods before me. And if you ask me what was wrong with little goat worship, I tell you, number two, the people who were worshiping goats were robbing God. You're not going to like this one. I know you're not going to like this one. See, what was sacrificed was given to God or to the goat god. In this case, they were taking the offering that should have been given to Yahweh, the God of Israel, and giving it to the image of a goat. Now, they were giving to Yahweh too. See, at the prescribed times, they brought their little goats and their little rams to the door of the tent of the meeting and gave them to the priest to give to God. But as soon as they had done that, they went off to play with their neighbors. And they took a little offering for the goat god too. So they're taking a little bit of what actually should have been given to Yahweh and giving it to the goat god. It wasn't theirs to give to anybody but Yahweh. The lamb belongs to God. The offering to God is God's. And they're taking, it's not theirs. They're taking a little bit of what they should have been giving to God and giving it away to a goat. Not even to a goat, to an idol. The image of a goat. They were given in both places. But they were, get ready, here it comes, dividing their tithe. They were splitting up their offering between the storehouse of God and the place where they worshiped goats. Now it is Malachi, the last of the prophets, who explains this to us. Malachi chapter 3, he wrote, "Bring the full tithe into the storehouse." Now let me preach a little here. Do you know the definition of a tithe? It is 10% of what God gives you. It says it in the Old Testament. Jesus affirms it in the New Testament. It is 10%. Okay? That literally means, okay, if you get $100, 10 of them are God's. You do the math. I don't know what you make. Okay? But whatever God gives you, he says 10% of it is his. And you are to give that 10% back to him as a gift, an act of faith. Now, I know what Satan does. He's not creative. He's been doing this for years. He starts screwing in your head, putting the braces on, saying, "Wait a minute, I can't give back one-tenth of what I give to God. I could never make it if I gave back one-tenth to God. If I gave one-tenth to God, I'd go bankrupt." He's been playing that same number in people's heads for years and years and years and years. And the people of God have been believing it for years and years and years and years. And I'll tell you something in a minute about believing it. But he says, Malachi says, bring the full tithe, the whole 10%. Into the storehouse. Are you ready? This is your storehouse. Your storehouse is the place where you worship. Malachi was saying, bring it all, every bit of it, into the temple of God. Give it to the priest freely, without any clause or exception. Turn it over to God, because after all, folks, it's his to begin with. Give it to him. Let him have it. The whole 10%. The problem that is mentioned in the text that was read to you is they're not bringing the sacrifices to the storehouse. They're not bringing what they're offering to the door of the tent of meeting. They're taking it out and doing it their own way. They are not releasing what belongs to God into the hand of God. Now you listen to me. If you give me a gift, but you won't let go of it? Guess who never got your gift? Because you never let it go. It only becomes a gift when you let it go, when you give it over and stop trying to be the one who runs what it does. Let God have the full tithe. Bring it into the storehouse. Because God said to. And remember, number one, when you don't do what God says to do, what you're doing is wrong. I got in trouble with that word at creation, didn't I? Okay, but you listen to me, church. If you're not bringing the full tithe into the storehouse of God and letting go of it, you are doing what is wrong, just as were those kids on that blanket. It is wrong. Now, my note says, get personal. Some of you want to control your tithe. You want to divide your tithe between this and this and this and this and this. So you take a little bit of it and you give it here. And you take a little bit of it and you give it here. And you take a little bit of it and you put it here. And you take another little bit of it and you put it over there. And Cornerstone gets some of it too. A little bit of it. That is exactly what the Israelites were doing. They're giving a little bit here, a little bit to the goat god, a little bit to the calf god, a little bit to this one, a little bit to that one, and a little tiny bit to God too. We ought to be happy with what he gets. After all, who's he think he is? God? Malachi says the full tithe. He says, bring it into the storehouse, the place where you worship. And he says, if you do not do that, what you are doing is robbing God. You're stealing from God. You're doing what Israel was doing. You are taking what belongs to Yahweh and giving it to some idol of your own. May not look like a goat. It may look like a goat. But it's wrong. Now, there's this little word in the text, which we read over and we look at it and go, gee, that's strange, what's doing there? And then we see, he says that by doing what they were doing, they were prostituting themselves. And we say, what's that mean, they're prostituting themselves? And then we want to give it the best. See, hang on, put your hands over your kids' ears. These idols were fertility gods and goddesses. People went to them to ensure that their flocks would breed really well and produce income for them. They went to them to pray that their fields would have abundant produce. They were going there because what they wanted to do was make sure that they were successful. Mm-hmm. Got it? So in essence, by giving a little bit to the goat god, the people of Israel were hedging their bet. They're basically saying, well, maybe there is something to that goat god thing. Okay? Maybe I give a little bit to the goat god, he'll bless me. I mean, you know, who knows? What can it hurt? If you go down to the Turkey Hill, they'll let you hedge your bet. Right down there, you can do it. You just buy one of those little lottery tickets, hoping. Just honestly, if you're playing the lottery with your 9/10, I don't care. You can go do whatever you want with your money. God gave it to you to waste, to enjoy, to spend wisely. But don't you dare take some of his money and go down there and buy a lottery ticket. Until you've paid your tithe to God, don't you dare buy a lottery ticket. Because if you do it, you know what you're doing? Same thing Israel did. Hedging your bets. You're playing life like the world does. You're saying, I can't really depend upon God. He's probably not going to give me everything I need. If I could just get a little more, I'd be really happy, and then I'd tithe. Aren't you? Aren't you? It's wrong. You give God God's stuff first. Now, that little word prostituting goes a step further. Because, see, when you went to these fertility cults to worship the idols like the goat god, what you did as worship was engage in sexual behavior with a priest or priestess of your choice. Now, did you get that? Did you understand what I meant? Anybody doesn't understand the language? They're going to church to have sex. Okay? It's kind of like going to creation and laying on a blanket making out with your girlfriend at 8 o'clock in the morning. Awful lot like it. Okay? Now, you want to increase attendance at Cornerstone? It'll work. Okay? You don't even have to go that far. Just put in some pole dancers on Sunday morning. Okay? Little bar with liquor in the lobby. And the world will come. And other Christians will come to see what you're up to, too. I promise, they'll come. Okay? So the Israelites are hedging their bets by not giving God what belongs to him and playing the odds, hoping maybe the goat god does have a little bit to give. And at the same time, enjoying a little illicit sexual behavior in church. Do you know how often that happens in church? Do you? Sounds so foreign, doesn't it? But it was all wrong. And what made it all wrong was that they were violating the command of God. And you know what Malachi says? Malachi says, if you will just do what God says, if you will bring the full tithe into the storehouse and let go of it, if you'll just give God your 10%, he will pour out on you unmeasured blessing. So much blessing that your basket will overflow and you will not be able to contain what God gives. But you listen to me. You don't do it, and what you'll get is a mercy drop. Plop, right down on your forehead. A big old wet mercy drop. And God will say, look, you could have so much more. There is so much more for you. You could have so much more if you will just do what I said. And I'll tell you what, it works. I know it works. I personally know it works. So what I'm encouraging you to do is stop messing around with goat gods and bring your full offering before the Lord. And by your full offering, I mean 1/10 of your income. And lay it down before him free and without strings. And watch the blessing he'll pour out on you. I know. Doesn't make sense. You're telling me you can't do it. You can't make ends meet on 10/10. How could you possibly make them meet on 9/10? Trust God. Trust God. You don't try it. He'll hit you with mercy drops. And they're sweet. But they are nothing compared to unmeasured blessing. Now, number three, if you wanted me to tell you what's wrong with a little goat worship, I would tell you it is unsafe. See, back then, the people did not understand diseases and how diseases were spread. They didn't know that meat, improperly butchered, could be unsafe to eat. And God, in the book of Leviticus, the very passages that we have read up to now, explains to the priest how they are to butcher the sacrifices so as to make sure that the meat supply to his people is clean and safe to eat. If they would just do it God's way, they would be protected from the disease which could be passed through improperly butchered meat. See, the fellowship offering, he says they are to offer these to him as fellowship offerings. Part of the fellowship offering was given to God. Part was given to the priest. And part was returned to the giver to eat with his family. When they offered the meat to the goat god or ate roadkill, and if you look at the end of this chapter, you will discover it's dealing with the eating of roadkill, which God says if you do it, you're in trouble. Okay. It was because when they did it, when they were offering, it was because they had not made a proper offering or sacrifice to Yahweh and were therefore introducing into their food chain, their food supply, practices of butchering that were unsafe and which could potentially harm them. This is exactly what we do when we begin to think that we know more than God. It's exactly what happens to us when we begin to tell ourselves that God's rules are just stupid because we are such an enlightened people. See, God puts an umbrella over us. It is the umbrella of his protection. The limits of it are contained in the Bible, his word. And he says to us, as long as you stay under there, you will be safe. It may be raging with storm outside, but as long as you're under the umbrella of God's protection, you are safe. Now, when you step out, going to get soaking wet. And the lightning's going to start going all around you. But there are no walls on God's umbrella. You can choose to go out there if you want, but if you do, beware, it is always unsafe. And by sacrificing to the goat god, Israel was taking unnecessary risks. See, when we do not listen to God, when we step out from under the umbrella of his protection, we put ourselves at risk. So you can see that what may have appeared to the Israelites to be polite and tolerant, offering an occasional sacrifice to the ever-popular goat god, was in fact a very dangerous and highly offensive thing to God. It was so offensive to God that God said any person living in the Israelite camp, whether they be Jew or non-Jew, who did such a thing as this, who offered a single sacrifice to the goat god, was to be cut off. He said that such a person was to be treated as if he or she were dead. Oh my God, how could he say that? It is so intolerant and so unloving, you might ask. You to ask me that, I would tell you this. Why should those who do not listen to God and who want to make sacrifice to the goat god not be shut out? For first, their example sets a bad believer, which encourages other believers to rebel against the authority of God. And number two, their bad behavior misleads the non-Jewish people about the very nature of God. And number three, They were denying themselves the full blessing of God and being satisfied with mercy drops. And last, they were offending God. So let me just be blunt in closing. Do you like goats? If you do, you will divide your tithe. If you like goats, you will give away freely what belongs to God. If you are a goat lover, robbing God will seem like nothing to you. If you like goats, you'll be willing to take risk that you need not take because you refuse to heed God's warning, thinking that you know better than God. If you don't listen to him, if you are stealing from him, if you take risk about which he has warned you, why would you expect him to bless you? You know, if Peter was a really rotten driver, kept running cars into poles, his father would never buy him a car. Okay? If Paul couldn't handle money, he shouldn't expect $1,000 gift from his dad. Why do you think, church, that God will pour out blessing on his children if they are irresponsible? And if you're kissing goats, you are irresponsible. Have no other gods before me, he says. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, he says, and I will open the windows of heaven and pour out on you uncontained blessing. You can have that. Or you can kiss goats. The choice is entirely yours.